Shot. Terror sweeps through me. The scout pulls the knife from Henri's side, the blade glistening with his blood. It thrusts down to stab Henri a second time. My hand reaches out for it, and I rip the knife away at the last second so that it is only a fist that hits Henri. He grunts, gathers himself, and presses the barrel of the shotgun to the chin of the scout and fires. The scout drops, headless. The rain starts, a cold, heavy rain. In no time at all, I'm soaked to the bone. Blood leaks from Henri's gut. He's aiming the shotgun into the darkness, but all of the scouts have moved into the shadows, away from us, so that Henri can't get a good enough aim. They're no longer interested in attacking, knowing that two of us have retreated and a third has been wounded. Six is still reaching for the sky. The storm has grown. The wind is beginning to howl. She seems to be having trouble controlling it. A winter storm. Thunder in January. As quickly as everything started, it all seems to stop. The thunder, the lightning, the rain. The wind dies away, and a low groan begins to grow from off in the distance. Six lowers her arms. All of us straining to listen. Even the Mogadorians turn. The groan grows, unmistakably coming our way. Some sort of deep mechanical groan. The scouts step from the shadows and begin to laugh. Despite our killing at least 10 of them, there are many more than before. From far off, a cloud of smoke rises over the tops of the trees, as if a steam engine is coming around the bend. The scouts nod to one another, smiling their wicked smiles, and reform their circle around us in what is an apparent attempt to get us back into the school. And it's obvious that that is our only choice. Six walks over. "What is it?" I ask. Henri hobbles, the shotgun hanging limply at his side. He's breathing heavily, a gash on his cheek below his right eye, a circular puddle of blood on his gray sweater from the knife wound.
"It's the rest of them, isn't it?"
Henri asks Six. Six looks at him, stricken, her hair wet and clinging to the sides of her face. "The beasts," she says, "and the soldiers. They're here." Henri cocks the shotgun and takes a deep breath.
"And so the real war begins," he says. "I don't know about you two, but if this is it, then this is it. I, for one..."
He says and trails off.
"Well, I'll be damned if I go down without a fight."
Six nods.
"Our people fought back till the end. And so shall I," she says.
A mile off, the smoke still rises. Live cargo, I think. That is how they transport them, by oversized semi-trucks. Six and I follow Henri back down the steps. I yell for Bernie Kosar, but he's nowhere to be seen.
"We can't wait for him again,"
Henri says.
"There isn't time."
I look around one final time, and slam the cellar doors shut. We rush back through the tunnel, up onto the stage, across the gymnasium. We don't see a single scout, nor do we see Mark and Sarah, and I'm relieved by that. I hope they are well hidden, and I hope Mark keeps his promise and that they stay that way. When we make it back to the home ec room, I slide the fridge out of the way and grab the chest. Henri and I open it. Six takes the healing stone out and thrusts it against Henri's gut. He is silent, his eyes closed, holding his breath. His face is red under the strain, but not a single sound escapes. A minute of this, and Six pulls the stone away. The cut has healed. Henri exhales, his forehead covered in sweat. Then it's my turn. She presses it to the gash on my head, and a pain, far greater than anything I've ever felt before, rips through me. I grunt and groan, every muscle in my body flexing. I can't breathe until it's over, and when it finally is, I bend over and catch my breath for a full minute. Outside, the mechanical groan has stopped. The semi is hidden from view.
while Henri closes up the chest and places it back in the same oven as before. I look out the window, hoping to catch sight of Bernie Kosar. I don't see him. Another set of headlights passes by the school. As before, I can't tell if it's a car or truck, and it slows as it drives by the entrance, then quickly speeds away without turning in. Henri pushes his shirt down, picks up the shotgun. As we move towards the door, a sound stops the three of us dead in our tracks. A roar comes from outside, loud, animal-like. A sinister roar unlike anything I have ever heard before, followed by the sound of the metallic clicks of a gate being unlocked, lowered, and opened. A loud bang snaps us all back to attention. I take another deep breath. Henri shakes his head and sighs in what is an almost hopeless gesture. A gesture made when the fight is lost. There's always hope, Henri, I say. He turns and looks at me. New developments have yet to present themselves. Not all the information is in. Don't give up hope just yet. He nods, and the tiniest trace of a smile forms. He looks at Six. A new development that I don't think either of us could have imagined. Who's to say that there aren't more waiting? And then he picks up where I left off, quoting the exact words he spoke to me when I was the one who was discouraged. The day I asked how we could possibly expect to win this fight, alone and outnumbered, far from home, against the Mogadorians, who seem to take great joy in war and death.
It's the last thing to go,
Henri says.
When you have lost hope, you have lost everything. And when you think all is lost, when all is dire and bleak, there is always hope.
Exactly, I say. Chapter 31. Another roar cuts through the night air, through the walls of the school, a roar that makes my blood turn cold. The ground begins to rumble under the footsteps of the beast that must now be on the loose. I shake my head. I saw firsthand how big they were during the flashbacks of the war on Lorien. For your friend's sake, and ours, Six says, we better get the hell out of this school while there's still time. They'll destroy the entire building trying to get to us. We nod to one another.
Our only hope is to get to the woods,
Henri says.
Whatever that thing is, we might be able to escape it if we can stay invisible.
Six nods. Just keep a hold of my hands. Needing no other motivation than that, Henri and I each take a hand.
As quietly as we can,
Henri says. The hallway is dark and silent. We walk with a quiet urgency, moving as swiftly as we can while making little noise. Another roar. And in the middle of it, another roar begins. We stop. Not one beast, but two. We continue on and enter the gymnasium. No sign of the scouts. When we reach the very center of the court, Henri stops. I look over, but can't see him. Why are we stopped? I whisper.
Shh,
he says.
Listen.
I strain to listen, but hear nothing aside from the steady hum of blood filling my ears.
The beasts have stopped moving,
Henri says.
So what?
Shh,
he says.
There's something else out there.
And then I hear it too. Slight, high-pitched yipping sounds, as though coming from small animals. The sounds are muffled, though obviously growing louder.
What the hell?
I ask. Something begins banging at the stage hatch, the hatch we are hoping to escape through.
Turn your lights on,
he says. I let go of Six's hand, snap them on, and aim them towards the stage. Henri looks down the end of the shotgun barrel. The hatch bounces up, as though something is trying to force itself through but lacks the strength to do so.